Welcome to Limited Time Only.
I'm Esther.
And I'm Susie.
Limited Time Only is the podcast for anyone who feels there aren't enough hours in their life.
And each week, there's a different topic for you to get your ears around.
Featuring chat, comedy sketches, and interviews with interesting people.
Limited Time Only is a pick-me-up in podcast form.
The special guest later in the episode is Chris Clarkson and Dame Ginger Spice. This week, it's time for a new year.
Oh, Suze, are you still full for Christmas? Because I am.
I'm absolutely stuffed to the gills, Esther.
I mean, you're just going to have to roll me to bed tonight. I'm so full.
I would enjoy doing that so much. Just like lying you down and just tipping you over. God, it would be so fun. It'd be like rolling a cheese down a hill.
I think I'd be an Edam. Yeah. What did you get for Christmas? Because I got a trip on the Orient Express.
Did you?
Yes. Really? That's what I got. I got a bracelet from Tiffany's and a trip on the Orient Express and a holiday to Bali.
Yeah, I'm just back from a whirlwind tour to New York.
Wow.
Where we flew over on private jet and put up in the fanciest penthouse hotel. And, I've got my diamonds on.
Yeah.
No, I got some socks and some chocolate. I got a lot of chocolate. I get chocolate. In fact, not so bad this year, but last year, all I got was chocolate. I'm not kidding you.
Oh, really?
I could not believe on the day, every single present I opened was chocolate. And I like chocolate, don't get me wrong. But I don't know.
It was a lot.
50 gifts of chocolate. I get a lot of gifts, Esther.
That's very fortunate.
They were all chocolate.
Well, I mean, that's like your year's supply, isn't it?
Well, and I am quite good at making it last.
Yes.
So I have only just finished off some of the chocolate from last Christmas.
Oh, are you good at making it last? I'm a bugger. If you give me a bar of dairy milk, I will have finished it within the day. I cannot. I've got no self-restraint with anything like that.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, what are the things that I would just go hammer and tongs at? Well, mince pies.
Yes.
I would ram a packet of mince pies into my mouth. there's no holding back there. Or, I don't know, what? Maybe licorice.
Oh, I like licorice.
Oh, yes. I just discovered, you know, Flying Tiger?
Yes.
They have, I really like licorice sort of wheels.
Yes.
That you can roll out. I mean, but I don't tend to roll them out. I just tend to shovel the whole disc into my mouth. And I love that stuff.
Yeah.
So if anyone wants to buy me a present, go to Flying Tiger. It's very cheap, packet of licorice. I will buy me 10 packets and I will love you forever.
And replace the chocolate with the licorice.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I like licorice. And,
licorice anything, actually.
Yeah. My daughter's big on licorice. Licorice torpedoes, her go-to choice.
What is a licorice torpedo?
It's the little...
It sounds like something very...
It's the little bits of licorice that are encased in like a crispy shell. You know,
yes.
And they're in different colours.
They're quite small. Oh, I like
yeah.
them.
She loves those, and she's a big licorice girl.
I'm writing it down.
Yeah, licorice torpedoes. They're her go-to choice. I love licorice. I'm a big licorice girl. There's something about licorice. I can't leave licorice alone either. But licorice doesn't make you feel as sick as jelly sweets.
No, but it does play havoc with your bowels. It's
does
it's a laxative.
It yours?
It's a laxative.
Oh, that
so a licorice torpedo. You don't need what they're called.
Laxatives.
No, what they call when you have to, you put one up your.
Oh, my mind's gone blank.
I have used them when pregnant.
All I keep thinking is plethora. What is it?
Oh, it must be something like plethora, but it's definitely not that.
It's what is the word? And it goes up your bum and it, yes, flushes you out.
Listeners, if you could just write in and let us know what the heck we're talking about. We'll probably remember right at the end. The other licorice thing I like is licorice toffee. I used
yes.
to get very excited about... I don't... Does Thorntons exist anymore?
Yes, I think it does. Yeah, I think it does.
But there used to be Thornton shops. I don't know. And there was one in Birmingham City Centre. And when I went in to do any form of shopping at Birmingham City Centre, I would go to Thornton's and buy myself a massive bag of Thornton's licorice toffee.
I don't have licorice toffee so much, but I always used to buy my dad Thornton's toffee every Christmas. I mean, he's broken a lot of his teeth, so I don't...
It was your fault.
Probably, yeah, it's my fault. But licorice is lovely. But I really don't have an off switch with things like that. I can't be trusted, so I don't tend to buy stuff like that that often. Because I will just, I think it's I want the dopamine. And so I'll just go, and then I get this little rush. And then I'm like, and another one. And then I'll go until I feel sort of sick. And then I'll just give it 20 minutes and then I'll push on like
that's,
a trooper.
I mean, that's Christmas Day, isn't it? All over.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about licorice. I mean, who knew that this chat was going to be solely about licorice? We will talk about something else in a minute, but I do want to mention Lakrids by Bulow. I don't know how you pronounce it. The Danish licorice company that is, I think they developed their recipe in heaven and transported it back down to earth. They have so many different flavours. They're generally little balls of licorice. So I've had some coated in sort of passion fruit kind of crunchy coating. I've had a strong kind of salty licorice. I mean...
It's Susie, I feel delicious. Like you need to put your Waitrose voice on as you describe these.
Well, if you're looking for a Christmas gift, or indeed a gift for any day, for Susie Riddell, go to Lakrids by Bulow. Licorice, made in heaven.
Oh, you're so good. You're so good. You know, like the Dervla Kerwin, when she like, Christmas, I like kumquats.
I like licorice torpedoes.
Licorice torpedoes.
Now you're going to my breathy. Boat. I'm just like that. I'm like, look, Joanna Lumley, and you've got the breath. But I'm just hoping Lakrids want to sponsor us forever.
Yeah, because I remember, Susie Riddell, the time when you were given a load of Lakrids licorice, for and you were like, I'm going to bring some down. I'm going to give some to you. And you kept leaving it. I've got inverted commas on here. Leaving it in your hotel room. When we were in Liverpool, you were like, oh, I'm going to bring some licorice down for you. Oh, I forgot it. Oh, I forgot. I think that's deeply subconscious.
Oh, I'm going to bring some. I'm definitely going to bring it down after. Oh no, it's gone.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have done the same. Guys, you should try this. And then I'd think, no, those bastards aren't having it. This is mine.
Well, actually, funny you mentioned that because I was wearing a scarf yesterday that I always think of my friend, of a friend whose name I won't mention because she'll know then that I never gave her the scarf. But I've got
Esther
friends.
Esther Stanford.
No, it wasn't you. I've got two scarves I own that I bought as gifts for a particular friend, the same friend, and then kept because I like them too much. Same friend. Yeah. And I bought the scarf, one like, I don't know, 7, 8, in fact, probably before my daughter was born, like 10 years ago. And I got it home and I was like, no, I just love it so much. And I bought another one a few years ago. One's a kind of more spring scarf. It's a light, you could wear it as a head scarf. I mean, you'd probably look a bit like an old lady, but from the 1940s. But there's that one. And then there's this nice woolly tartan scarf. And it is weird because I bought them for her. I think about her every time I wear it and I have a slight guilt.
Yes.
But she doesn't know.
She doesn't know. She's none the wiser. And you probably bought her something equally as lovely.
I bought her other things. I mean, I could say, Laura, I'm so sorry. I've got the scarves I bought you and you're never going to get them. So
no. But I remember hearing Kirsty Allsop say a few years ago, always buy a gift that you would want yourself, but sometimes it's bloody hard to part with. I'm just looking at it going, but I really want that. I really want that. Yeah. Yeah. I
And then if they don't give you as good a gift, if you just give it to them and then they give you a box of licorice torpedoes, chocolates, and you're like, oh, okay. So yeah. But you have to get over that. And I'm really trying this year. I've tried this year to give people gifts that I don't value because of how much they cost. That's been a problem of mine in the past. So hopefully you're all very happy with the gifts that I've bought you, even though they are only 2 centimetres across and cost about 20 pence. You know, it's what I've given everybody one chocolate
from last year's chocolate.
Yes, I should have just kept them all. Best before January 2024. Eat them quickly.
Go, kids, go. What about New Year for you? What do you have any big plans for next year? Do you make resolutions?
I suppose I always... I used to make strong resolutions, but they never fell through. And I always think that the next year is going to be the best one ever. And then I look back, you know, like 2020. Yeah, going to smash it. It's going to be the best year ever. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we all know what happened there.
Yes.
Let's not go over that. But if, yeah, I always start the year in a sort of with a positive frame of mind. But I try not to think it's going to be the best year in the history of the world ever, because of course things just go up and down, really, don't they? I mean, that's the nature of life. It's not going to be absolutely fantastic at all times, or indeed ever. Happy Christmas, everybody. No, it will. There'll be fantastic things, and there'll be hard things, and there'll be challenges. I think my resolution for this year will be, well, to do more limited time only. That's a resolution.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm not. My resolution is to stop. No. And I would like to make my aim for the year to find, I suppose, more of a balance in my existence. I think a lot of my time this year, I've been existing in a place that hasn't been ideal, and have been pursuing maybe things that aren't very, I don't know, good for me. Not that I've been taking drugs, guys, or even drinking. I don't even drink. But just like, yeah, that my sort of, what is my focus? I think it's finding a focus, actually. That's probably the right phrase. And if I can get to the end of 2024 and feel more balanced, I mean, in fact, what I should do is sign up immediately for Hannah Miller's Sidekick Purpose Pursuit. That's probably what I should do. But yeah, I'd like to get to grips with what the heck I'm doing. And I think that probably happens every year, doesn't it? And things change, and we've talked, you know, things change as you go through life and your focus changes. And I feel like I've got to a point where my focus needs is shifting, and I'd like to make 2024 the year in which I work out what that is, and not blindly keep pushing down the path that I've been pushing down for a long time. I think there's something kind of blocking my way there, and I've got to find how to either shift that block out the way, or I might try going that way for a bit.
Yeah. Do you meditate? Or because I was listening to something the other day that was saying we fill our lives so much that then we don't have space to actually, the answers are within us, but we're never quiet enough for long enough to hear it.
Mm. Well, I did do my mindfulness meditation course with Guru Sue. Sue Hawkins, during the pandemic, and did meditate for a long time, but I have to say, Sue, don't hate me now. I haven't been meditating, and I've been thinking about it a lot, and not doing it, and I think that would help me vastly. I know it would, because that course was amazing, and every time I've meditated, it's been beneficial. So yeah,
I mean, I guess it doesn't even have to be meditation, does it? It's just I think most of us are guilty of this now, of like just filling. If you've got 5 minutes, you look on your... I mean, I don't want to be repetitive here, but if you've got 5 minutes, you look at your phone. Mm. Whereas if I used to, when I was a kid growing up, I used to just sit and look out the window for periods of time. I used to do it with my gran, and we'd just sort of look out the window, or I'd do it on my own. And there's somebody I know who has said to me in the past, I have to have my gazing time every day. Mm. And I used to love that, the sort of just staring out the window and just letting thoughts come in and out. But even if I go in the bath now, I take a book or listen to a podcast, or I've got my phone, and it's sort of it doesn't have to be meditation. It just can be switching off and allowing thoughts to come in.
I actually get a bit panicky if I'm walking somewhere without input in my ears.
So
if I go for a run, I don't think I could actually do it if I didn't have my earpods in and listening to a podcast or something. Or the Archers, usually.
Catching up. Working out what's going on in everyone's stories.
What? Who am I?
Tracy wouldn't do that. Don't talk about Tracy like that.
Yeah, and I feel a bit panicky Which is really bad, isn't it? That I can't be settled with myself, just, you know, just my own, comfortable with my own thoughts.
And maybe that's, maybe, yeah, that's quite telling, isn't it? I can be like that as well, where I'm like, I must listen to something, or I think I'm always trying to capitalize on every moment, and that's not necessarily healthy, but I know that I'm not always good just sitting with my own thoughts, and I think that's possibly something that I need to just do more of next year. And I think we're not in the minority with that. I think most people are like it, but I suppose it's sitting with yourself, getting comfortable with that, and just, I don't, who's the book by? Who's the book by? I'll think of it and it'll come back to you. It might be Gabrielle Bernstein. Is that the name I want? Anyway, she talked, no, maybe it wasn't her. Anyway, we'll find the right name and drop it in.
Instead of Gabrielle Bernstein, it is Glennon Doyle they are talking about.
It was a lady who couldn't work out what she wanted to do with her life. So she locked herself in a cupboard for 2 or 3 hours and just sat and made herself stay there. And then she had the answers, because the answers are always in you, aren't they? So
they are. But do you know what? I mean, I think I'm like you in that I come up with so many ideas for stuff.
Yeah.
And so many options. And that I'm convinced is the right one. And then the next day I'll be like, nah.
Yes.
So I find that very confusing. I mean, I got very excited last week. I had an idea for something. I was like, yeah, this is definitely the what I should be doing. And then this week I'm like, no, why would I want to do that?
Oh God, we're so the same. I do exactly that. I do that, and then I talk myself out of it. You should do Hannah's course, actually. Yeah, I think you get a lot out of
it.
Because what she did was, you find out, as we've discussed before, you find out what your strengths are. It's far more in depth than this. You find out what your strengths are, you find out what your values are, and you make sure they marry up, and that's quite often where you go wrong. So like I was talking to you with Hannah on the podcast about, I'm an actor who doesn't act, but when I looked at my values, it's because they didn't quite marry up. And because being a jobbing actor traveling around, I want to be at home in the evenings with my family, and that doesn't marry up. And I want to prioritize that family time. I don't like missing, I want to be with my kids as much as I can without being unhealthy whilst they're still at home, and I want to make the most of those times. And that's probably what holds me back, because she was saying that she had a job in marketing when she came out of uni, and she said on paper that looked perfect, but then I quickly realized it didn't align with my values. So you need to know what your values are to pull you back into focus. And that's sometimes where we go wrong. We know what our strengths are, but we don't stick to what our values are. And and so then that's almost like your North Star to keep, help you move forward.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that would be...
keep you on track.
Be a great a goal for the year.
Yeah. Because I definitely have far more understanding of myself now. And I'm sort of, whether this continues or not, I don't know. I've stopped flip-flopping so much. I'm like, right, we're doing this. I'm doing a lot of workshops and courses, and I'm writing and making a film in 2024, and I'm sort of, that's it, and I can't do much else, and that's great. And actually that's kind of helping me say no to things that aren't going to be beneficial. Like, that's as much time as I've got, guys, and the rest of the time I need to I'm somebody who has to have time for themselves. I have to have solitude. As much as I love communication, I go a bit mad if I don't have some quiet. And so it's going, right, I can only fit that in. So yours is sort of clarity, I guess, and boundaries. And,
yeah, I think both those words are valid. And it's a good time, isn't it, to sort of do it. And also at this time of year, I kind of look back at what I used to, and I should again, I made a list of my achievements in the year. I think I stopped doing it after I had children. Because I was like, I haven't got time for that. But you know, if you list all the things you've achieved in a year, it's pretty...
it's quite staggering.
It's always remarkable.
Really?
Yeah. And you suddenly remember things that you've done that you'd forgotten about.
I've got a 5-minute journal. I don't know if you've heard of that. I've got a 5-minute journal. I saw Emma Watson advertise it on Vogue in the Bag. I don't know if you've ever watched a Vogue in the Bag. It's a brilliant waste
Vogue
of time, because
bag.
I'm really nosy, and they get celebrities on and they open up their bag and it's like Joan Collins going, here's my purse and here's this and this is what I've got in here.
Because of course they haven't curated the bag specifically for that day.
I don't think Helen Mirren curated
I'd
hers.
I'd be like, I've got a snotty tissue, I've got half a
bag. No, but Helen Mirren did do that. Helen Mirren did do that. She opened her bag up and it definitely wasn't curated unless she was trying to make herself look...
normal.
You know, really normal, like one of the people. And she went, oh, it's not a tissue. Disgusting. But some of them are like, oh, everything's from a certain brand. But Emma Watson had this 5-minute journal in there and I do that every day. I love it.
Ah.
It's really, because it literally takes 5 minutes and it's really helpful. So in the morning you wake up and you write 3 things you're grateful for. And actually you don't have to write something that's currently happening. It could be a manifesty thing where you're like, I'm grateful for the $1 million and my trip on the Orient Express. That I'm gonna, you know what I mean? And then you write 3 things you're grateful for. Then you write 3 things that would be really helpful to you to do that day. And then you write an affirmation, and you can write as many affirmations as you want. And then in the evening, you write 3 highlights of the day and something that you learned that day. And it takes 5 minutes, but it really does sort of make you lean into gratitude and make you realize what you've achieved and been doing that day. And I can always find something to be sort of like, God, that was brilliant.
Yeah.
But like we've said before, I cry at rainbows like that.
But,
so
I mean, I think this is an opportunity for us all, you and I and everybody listening, to sort of think to yourself, oh, yeah, I've done all right this year.
Yeah.
There have been some tricky moments. But you know, I've achieved things and I've made some people happy. And you know, I've done it. I've kind of, because it can be a bit of a, you got to get through. So just, it's nice to appreciate oneself sometimes.
It is. And even if it's as simple as I got up and went to work, or I managed to just get through the day. If you've had a difficult year, then you're here. And you don't have to have done brilliant, amazing things all the time. We're just human.
Thank what is goodness it? For that.
We're human beings, not human doings.
Yes. Yes, that's a really good thing to think
and
about.
And I don't think, I don't do New Year's resolutions now that are sort of, I must lose 3 stone and I don't do that anymore. I just constantly try to be a bit kinder to myself, but it'll be more things like, oh, we've got ambition with what we want to do with limited time only. And I want to push it in that direction. It's more stuff like that for me now. Mm. And I want to be kind to myself and I want to see friends. It's more stuff like that that I do as resolutions
and
now.
And I want to meet as many limited time only listeners as possible.
Yes, me too. As long as you're not psycho.
So,
well, as long as you know, don't want feet pictures and
be
stuff.
Interesting. I mean, I'm hoping that maybe somebody for Christmas got a sort of Patreon subscription to limited time only. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But what my current resolution is to find as much licorice as I possibly can between now and New Year. And stuff my face.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with that.
Good with luck with that. And I'm going to make it my mission to try some lacquerids because you raved about it and squirreled it all away.
I'm so sorry.
It was yours.
And we'll say happy, happy new year, everybody. It's been lovely to be back doing limited time only and, you know, connecting with everybody who's sharing our stories and offering up theirs for us to share as well. So thank you. Thanks for being there. Thanks for listening.
It's been so lovely to connect with you all. And thank you. I hope 2024 is glorious and joyful and stuff of all your good dreams. And and we don't hear the word unprecedented.
But we will hear the word inaugural a lot.
Yes.
Because I do like that. And plethora. Still can't remember what the thing is that you...
No, something up your bum.
No, that's...
We'll come back. We'll come back with it. We'll get our little voiceover artist to drop it in.
The word they are looking for is suppository.
Gaudete, gaudete, Christus est natus. Ex Maria Virgine, gaudete.
Gaudete, gaudete, Christus est natus. Ex Maria Virgine, gaudete. Tempus adis gratiae, hoc quod obtabamus. Carmina letitiae, debutere damus. Gaudete, gaudete, Christus est natus, ex Maria Virgine, gaudete. Gaudete, gaudete, Christus est natus, ex Maria Virgine, Gaudete.
I think of myself as a patron of the arts. I buy theatre tickets. Encore! I attend cinematic presentations.
Can I see some ID, madam? This is a 12 certification.
Oh, blast. And I adore a good art exhibition. Who's this by? It's just blobs.
Picasso?
Oh. But it's only now that I can call myself a true patron, as I've become a patron of Limited Time Only Podcast. My support enables Susie and Esther to make LTO the best it can be, and gets me bonus content and experiences I don't want to miss. I've just signed up for the first patron-only LTO live online. To sign up, go to patreon.com and search for Limited Time Only Podcast. There's a link in the show notes and in the LTO Instagram bio. I'll see you over there. I'm just off to the opera. Toodaloo!
We interrupt this programme with a U-bash. On New Year's Eve, many of you will attempt to sing Auld Lang Syne. The lyrics are from a poem by Robert Burns, written in 1788, and are invariably sung incorrectly. Today we have a special guest, Bunty Riddle, who's going to tell us how the poem actually goes. Hello, Bunty.
Hello.
Could you please enlighten us?
Aye. Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot for days o' lang syne? For auld lang syne, my dear, for auld lang syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne. There are four more verses if you'd like to hear them.
No, thank you. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. The most accurate interpretation of auld lang syne is old long since, or for the sake of old times. However, if you're anything like me, you'll be shouting incoherently by that point in the evening, so it really won't matter what you say. Have fun. Goodbye.
I cannot see you.
Oh, I've not got my video yet. Sorry, there we are.
Oh, hello. Wow!
Hello.
Oh,
I've got my wig as well, I've just not
gorgeous.
Put it on yet.
Okay, that's fine. Hi, Chris.
Hello. How you doing?
Oh, thank you so much. This is Esther.
Hello. Hi. I mean, you're pointing at me there, Susie, but it's on my screen, but that's fine.
This is Esther.
And I'm Chris.
Lovely.
This may be a shorter episode, but today we have not one, but two guests. Actor, presenter, magician, and all-round entertainer, Chris Clarkson, and a lady he knows intimately, shall we say, pantomime dame Ginger Spice. We talked to Chris about his career as an actor and how it feels to work a panto season. And we talked to Dame Ginger Spice about her feelings for the genie and children. Welcome to the show, Chris Clarkson and Dame Ginger Spice.
Thank you very much. Lovely to be here.
Oh, well, you're a very busy man. Always a very busy man. Multi-talented. You are. And you can deny it all
it's
you
very,
wish.
Very kind of you to
but
say.
But it's true. And... And you're currently starring as Dame Ginger Spice at the New Theatre Royal in Lincoln for their Christmas pantomime, which is Aladdin.
Yes.
Which is keeping you extremely busy.
Very much so, yes, yes. We've had a... Recording this on a Monday, we've had two three-show days on Saturday and Sunday, so it's been a hectic schedule.
Can I ask, how does a three-show day work? I can't fathom out when the third show fits in.
We do it three times. Sorry, I thought the clue was in the title there. What do you mean, Esther? What do you mean?
So, like, what time are they? So you do one at 7.
I've got it on my mirror just here. They are 10:30, 2:30 and 7.
Oh, it's a morning show.
Okay. Oh, yes, yeah. Yes, yes, yes. So we arrive at the theatre for 9:30 for warm-ups. And then we'll finish at about 9:30-ish. So it's about 12 hours in the theatre, really. And when you have to put a face on, like I have to put a face on, you can't really leave in between shows. Some people, and a lot of the females in the cast will leave because it's like a heightened day wear for them, really. But for me, it's something a little bit different. And it's not that I mind walking around with makeup on. It's more if I see kids who've just watched the show or are about to watch the show, it's a bit of a spoiler. So it's more for that reason that I don't do it. Although sometimes I do sneak out. Oh, I've not got my lipstick on yet either. Oh, because I was drinking my tea. I've not put my lippy on. Whoops.
Maybe you could take us through your beauty regime in
a
bit.
I should do that.
Put it on sort of in situ. But you are a multi-talented chap and you do lots of things. I mean, I have been in a play with you.
Yes.
Which feels like a long time ago now.
Well, it was a long time ago. Let's pretend it wasn't.
Oh no, we're so old. We did The Taming of the Shrew.
We did the summer of 1967, was it? Something like that.
1967, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Before automobiles, we just toured on foot. No, it was 2006.
I think so,
We toured the country.
We did.
Chris has a beautiful singing voice. Would regale the audience. I was playing the recorder badly in the background for that one. and it was a brilliant production. But as well as, you know, acting and playing the Dame, which is itself a massive skill, which we'll talk to you about a bit more, you are also a presenter, a magician.
Yep.
And I don't know if I've got this right, but I think you took part in the World Living Statue Championship.
Yes. That is true.
I mean, this is a while ago.
I represented Team GB for 2 years. So, yes, I did the World Living Statue Championships.
I mean, I remembered the title and everything. That was...
Yeah. That was a bonkers time.
So what living statue were you for the championship?
The first year I went, I was a Grecian statue and I was holding a jug, which was continually pouring water into an urn. And so it was a pump system going through. So I was like a water feature, basically. And that was good fun. It was a pain getting all of the equipment to the Netherlands where the competition took place. And then the second year, I went as James Bond. I created a James Bond living statue with a water pistol as my water PPK. Get it? Walter.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
So I could squirt people, and I really enjoyed that. And the second year I went... I didn't win it. There's like there was back then. I don't know if it's changed. A selection of judges go around who mark the 150 statues who were there from all over the world, going, "Yes, build quality is very good and makeup's excellent, etc." And they choose the champion. The people who were there, I think I can't remember how many, 300,000 people go or something like that.
Wow.
They vote for their favourite, and they voted for me. So I think officially I was the world's most popular living statue back in 2008.
Wow.
Seven? Nine?
I mean, you can dine off that forever. That's amazing. That is a real achievement. And you made the things yourself as well. You made the...
I did. I did make the costume. The dinner jacket was my granddad's old dinner jacket from the 60s with, I think it had 7 coats of masonry paint on it to make it really rigid. It would actually stand up by itself because you don't want it flapping around in the wind.
That's how you do it, with masonry paint on the costumes.
That's how I did it for that one. It's not necessarily how all statues do it. I've not statued for a long time now, I'll be honest.
What do you do when you get itchy? I always think that because I get quite itchy and I just think, oh my God, it's driving me mad. Or do you sort of... Probably, yeah.
Bit orcs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Admitting that on your podcast.
Yeah, bit orcs. I'm sorry. It's the only way I could bring it up, to be honest with you, Chris. Yeah, what do you do if you get like a...
If you have to itch it or sneeze it, then you have to do it. But you kind of need to bring it into the character a little bit, I suppose. I think one thing people don't always appreciate with doing statues is it's not a standing still competition. It's not who can be the stillest the longest. You're an entertainer, so whether you're booked at an event, because I never busked with it, I only worked events when I did, and I've not done it for 15 years or something. You're booked, if you're booked as a singer, you sing, you're entertaining. If you're booked as a comedian, a magician, anything like that, you're there to entertain people. And a statue is there to entertain as well. So you're not just, people aren't going to go, wow, that's incredible. Look, that person's standing really still. I'm going to stand and watch this person standing. That's not how it is. You've got to create a character. So that's why, like with my James Bond one, I had the water pistol that I would squirt people. Or you'd be in a pose and after a while you'd just change to a different pose or something like that. So you're still there to entertain. But if you have an itch, then you might be able to put your itch into it somehow. Or yeah, I guess you do that really.
And what about the magic? Because is magic something you've always been interested in? Or was it something that developed as part of your sort of performance toolbox?
It's not something I've always been interested in at all. I basically got involved in it for the sex, drugs and rock and roll lifestyle that comes with being a magician, which is amazingly all completely untrue. One of my best mates is a magician, has been all his life, and a lot of performing magic at events, at weddings or anything like that is, first of all, just going and chatting to people. And because I chat to people in the other guises of work that I do. He went, you could nail that bit. You've got some magicians who've you know, grown up in darkened bedrooms wearing capes and top hats doing all this, and they're very good at all this stuff, but they can't talk to human beings. I got the talking bit down straight away. That was no problem. I just had to learn some magic. So he taught me some relatively rudimentary tricks to begin with, and I quite enjoyed it, and I got better at it. And over the years, I've just developed slightly better, but still pretty pants, magic routines.
Oh, well, you know, I've seen your close-up card work, and it's really good. I've seen you close up, Chris. I've seen
you. Oh, there we go.
Do you ever use the magic in your pantomime performances? Does that ever come into it?
Not really, because I generally do close-up magic, which doesn't really work. There might be a bit of sleight of hand occasionally when I need something to disappear, or controlling where people are looking is always a very handy thing to do. So misdirection. So, for example, there's a moment in this when I have to move one prop surreptitiously without anybody seeing it moving, just so it's out the way to create an illusion for something that's going on later on. And I kind of have the ready-made skills to be able to do that, which is very handy. Yeah. But no, not I've never gone to an audience member, come on, pick a card or anything like that. That's a little bit weird.
Well, there's stage magic, isn't there? I suppose in the
past. There is stage magic, yes, there is.
The magic of theatre, darling.
The magic of theatre.
And so when you were a child, you know, did you come out singing and dancing and performing?
pretty much, I think so. I think so. I'm an only child, and I did used to create my own little shows. I remember doing that, which was quite good fun. Sorry, there's police have come to get me, I think. You can hear those sirens in the background. Let me just shut the window. Hang on a second. Oh, there we go. Yeah, they'll never find me now. yes, I've always been. My first solo performance, which I don't remember, I was at preschool, when my mum tells me the story. She's got a photo of it. It's wonderful as well. She walked in with the audience all at the beginning. Everyone's waiting to see their kid do whatever their kid's doing. And there was a big red box on the floor in the middle of the stage before any of the kids came in. And some music started, and I popped out dressed as Santa and sang When Santa Got Stuck Up the Chimney.
Oh.
And I was preset. I've got no memory of it at all, but I was preset in this little box, and I must have been very excited and happy about it. And I did that solo, and then all the other kids came in, and whatever the rest of the show was started. But so, yes, I think I've always been like it, just a bit gregarious and annoying. Yeah.
I can vouch for that.
You're just a born performer, aren't you?
Well, maybe.
So did you go to drama classes when you were a child?
Yeah. Growing up in Leicester, I was part of the Haymarket Young People's Theatre. The Haymarket's no longer with us. We've got Curve now in Leicester, which is beautiful.
I know Curve.
All the drama clubs that you could go to, or all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I've always enjoyed doing it.
It's so, we're talking to anyone, any actual performer comes on here, and you always ask them when did you start. And it's always, you know, age 5, 6, 7. We all, and youth groups are, youth drama groups are absolutely essential. And particularly at this time of year, lots of kids are doing nativities and that kind of thing, and going to see the pantomime as well. And for many young, for children, it's their first experience of theatre, which is quite lovely to think that you're part of that.
It is. Panto is a huge, huge thing for the industry in so many ways. And I know a lot of actors look down on it and sneer at it. They shouldn't. So firstly, panto is the saviour of most theatres financially for the rest of the year. The panto pays for the pinto is the phrase. It sustains it all the way through the year. But with the audience thing and with kids, yes, most kids' first experience of theatre is panto, maybe with a school because their parents maybe can't afford it and all the rest of it. You're not necessarily going to gain an audience member for life from panto, but you can certainly put people off it for life if you don't do a good job. So you need a good quality panto in order to keep the people involved and interested.
Yeah, it's quite a responsibility, I suppose. But lovely as well to think that's kind of, you know, in the audiences that have already seen you this Christmas, there might be a couple of young people there who've gone, oh, I really want to try that. And
Absolutely. And what's nice here this year as well, we've got, I mean, every panto has got local kids in it. So we've got two teams of 9 kids. And there's normally a group photo of them all with their names. Here in the programme, they've all got little bios as well. Aww. So, and I've never seen that in a panto before, which is lovely. So it's a double page spread with all the kids. And they've all got, it's a paragraph inside. Ellie has been dancing since she was three, and she now goes to this school, and it's really, really nice and lovely. And so any kids out there, or any parents or kids going, oh, my kid likes dancing, maybe we should do some of this as well. It's a really lovely introduction to the theatre world for them.
That's really good to know, because yes, every borough, every city, town has a panto. And that's a really good tip for anyone who wants to get their, you know, whose child is interested in doing it. This episode is our kind of in between New Year and Christmas. And I wondered if you, Chris, had any New Year resolutions.
No. Only because it's weird. When you're doing panto, you don't really get caught up in Christmas and New Year stuff because you work 6 days a week, sometimes 7 days a week in the build-up to it. So you don't get the necessarily all the Christmas spirit, Christmas cheer. I don't own Christmas decorations because I leave home in November and get back in January. So why would I decorate my house when I'm not there for it? Yeah. And I'm not going to bring tinsel with me wherever I go to decorate the room in my digs or anything like that. So with New Year, really, it kind of just happens.
Yeah.
And I don't think about New Year's resolutions. So I don't think I've got any, no.
Well, it's kind of like a bubble, isn't it, when you're in a show? You kind of, it's like its own ecosystem for that time that you're in it. And then you go, oh, there's a Very real much. World.
Exactly. You get on the shoulder coaster and then you just keep going until the ride stops.
Yeah, and when does it finish? When does
this
Aladdin
one
finish? Yeah,
7th of January.
Oh right, so it's not right through to the kind of February.
No, it's not as long as some of them.
So how many years have you been doing pantomimes?
Well, this is my 21st panto.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I've come of age. 21. Yeah. It's not all Christmas. I've done a couple of summer ones. And I've had a couple of Christmases off, one when I was touring in a show for a year, one when I just wanted to not do panto 1 year. I just wanted a year off. I wanted to have a Christmas day and then a Boxing Day type thing. And then COVID year. So I've missed three Christmases, but made up for it in other ways, different times of year.
Do you find that you do miss Christmas? Or do you just love being part of a show?
I love panto. When it's done well, panto is a brilliant beast, not only on stage, but also as a company. And when you're part of a team and you feel valued and you can have fun with everybody, it's just, there's no feeling like it. Am I allowed to swear on this podcast?
Yes.
All right. Because we're all in this shit together. We're all doing 17,000 shows a day, 562 days a week. So we're all feeling each other's pain. We all come into work in the morning going, I'm so tired, I could not go out of bed this morning. But we're living it together. So when you've got that camaraderie between you, it's a bit sort of Dunkirk spirit. I'm not saying it's the hardest job in the world. I'm not working down a coal mine. I'm not working on a COVID ward or anything like that. There are far worse jobs, I'm well aware. But physically and mentally, it is utterly exhausting, particularly the mentally side of it, when you're just churning over and over and over and over again, trying to stay sane.
And it is, and it's a physical, emotional. Your energy is going out every day, sometimes three times for what, two and a half hours at a time, into hundreds of people and entertaining them, and that is it's a huge commitment and a huge effort. And I salute you, basically, because you know that's an.
I salute you straight back, Riddler.
It's an incredible. Thank you, Super. It is an incredible achievement, and you do bring joy. You bring, and the rest of your company, bringing Christmas joy to the people of Lincoln and all across the country in the past. But amazing. You should feel very proud of yourself.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I shall feel proud of myself on the 8th of January.
When you can sleep.
Just trying to give a little boost. Yeah,
you can sleep for a while. Do you find that you have to really watch what you eat during a panto run?
No, it's the opposite. You eat everything because you're burning so many calories. For me, the Dame role's slightly different to a lot of the other characters in that I have a load of costumes. So my track backstage is almost as busy as my track on stage, because if I'm not on stage, it means I'm getting changed, is the rule of thumb. So you're constantly, and you don't sit down between scenes particularly, you're always moving, so you can pretty much get away with eating whatever you want, and you do, and your costumes still have to get taken in because you lose weight. So as diets go, it's brilliant. I wouldn't recommend it. I certainly wouldn't want to do it for longer than Christmas panto season, but yeah, you do look after yourself too. You've got to eat healthily, because you can get run down very easily, as you can on any show. But the incessant nature of how quickly the shows keep coming around. I'm staying in my digs with another one of the cast, and we were talking earlier on saying, oh, it's only a two-show day today. In no other job in theatre would you go, oh, yes, it's a two-show day. You're normally going, it's got to do it twice today. It's normally a one-show day, but we're desperate for a two-show day because we've just done two, three-show days back-to-back. It's weird how it plays with your mind.
Yeah. With the day, so how long have you been... You've been doing panto, you've done panto 21 years.
21, yeah.
How many years has that been playing the Dame?
So this is my eighth day.
Eighth. And how do you... So were you kind of... I was imagining you're the kind of Buttons type character? Or
yeah,
Handsome
so
Prince?
I very kind of you. I did start out as Prince way back when, and then sort of progressed through the comic roles, so Button, Silly Billy, Wishy Washy type things. Then did what's he called? Beauty and the Beast, like a Gaston type role. Like, yes, look at me, aren't I brilliant? Ha ha! But you're actually a bit of a tit. So I did one of those, and then I did a King type role. And I mean, this isn't not necessarily in that order. They're mixed up a little bit, but. I never wanted to do anything other than comic. Even when I started out as Prince, I desperately wanted to be comic. And I loved my years as comic. When I stepped up to do Dame, I didn't think I was ready. I still don't think I'm ready. But it turns out Dame's even more fun, because you get... There's like a status with the role. It's not to do with the performer doing it at all, but the status of the Dame is kind of above the comic in terms of... It's often mother and son type relationship. So you clip them around the head and all that kind of stuff, and you put them down. You say mean things to them that are still funny. And I love having the control of being able to do that. It's really nice when you can let loose and chat to the audience and ad lib away and play with whoever's in on the night.
Yeah. I always think of the Dame as the ultimate character in any panto. She is the... I think of her as the kind of the boss of the panto. And, I mean,
the
magic characters. Yeah, she's the matriarch, and she kind of overrides everything. Kind of.
Yeah.
So it's fantastic. And was it? How did you feel that first year when you were? Were you just asked to do it, or did you say I'd really like to play the Dame?
No, I got offered. It was in Harrogate, and they offered it to me, and I kind of went, well, I've not got another offer at the moment. Can we try it? Yeah, let's do it. So I went and did it. And I would have been about 32, I think, at the time. And I think I was too young for it, but I did it. And, you know, as fellow theatricals, when you do a show and you walk out into the bar and people turn around, and go, oh, brilliant, well done, etc. I did the first show and I got ready and I went out into the bar, opened the door, and I hope it went okay. I hope I wasn't terrible. And I walked into the bar and the people were still sort of there with the drinks and went, and I was thinking, I've got it so wrong. They don't even want to look. And they went, no, they don't recognise me, do they? They don't recognise me. And it was brilliant. And I walked straight to the bar, bought a pint, and I could just have a drink. And it was awesome. I don't need, I love adjuration at all. I'm personally not a fan of that. And as in for me, I don't mind giving it to other people. But it was a real eye-opener. And there was one year, a few years ago, when there was a lad who was on his first panto. And he wanted the fame and adulation, and that's absolutely fine. And it was quite cute, really. He's just out of drama school. And I walked out of stage door with him, and he was kind of going, oh, I want to sign autographs. And nobody looked at him. He was playing a cat, so he had face makeup on a cat anyway. Oh, not when we walked out of stage door. And I just went, oh, look, there's Tom the cat, or whatever his name was. And people turned around, oh, there he is, and went over to him. And I just carried on walking and went to the pub. Which is great. Obviously, I don't mind meeting people. If people want to meet me, that's fine. But I don't.
But they just don't recognise you. They don't recognise you.
It's great.
So, well, it would be lovely to see the full Dame regate. I mean, we've got Chris is sitting here with his Dame Ginger Spice outfit on, which is this incredible dress with puffy sleeves, a sort of white bib with pizza and chips. Is that a burger? Burger bit.
Yes, burger.
And what's the necklace? Is that sort of
that's it's kebab. A kebab. So it's peppers and meat and Yeah, whatever you put on a kebab, really.
Quite like that myself. But these chunky necklace, and he's got the most amazing face of makeup with huge eyebrows. I mean, those are very in, I would say. False lashes, yes. Defined cheeks. I mean, obviously you have to shave every day.
Twice a day sometimes.
Twice a day. Yeah. It just grows too.
So when you have a morning and an evening show. It's not that like I've got a full beard or anything by the end of the day. There's a bit of stubble. It might not be visible to the audience, but when you wear wigs, the wigs get caught on your stubble. So you end up walking around with your wig attached to your face. And when you're sweating as well, obviously it sticks. So yeah, quite often it's a two-shave day. And putting makeup on over a shave isn't very nice.
So can we see you in your wiggage?
Yeah.
Can we have a little chat with Dame Ginger Spice when you...
We can. I shall just... I realised I didn't put my lippy on
because
I was drinking my tea.
I should watch you because I'm not very good at putting lipstick on. You've probably...
I'm not very good at any of this.
This is quite a particular shape, isn't it? The dame lip.
It can be. It depends.
Very big Cupid bow.
Oh, fabulous. Yeah, very...
This is great. So this little, is the makeup tutorial.
Normally I talk people through it when I do my makeup, but the lips is the one bit you can't talk through when you're doing it.
You're transformed.
My wig and my hat.
Oh, he's excited, gone out of shot here.
Sorry.
No, I just wondered.
On a little shelf.
I'm picturing a certain wig. Let's see if it's what I imagine.
I don't know if you're going to get a certain wig. I'm trying to keep out of you, so I'm quite seeing it as I actually do it. There's mirrors
everywhere.
Big
reveal. The big reveal is coming up.
Right, that's vaguely it.
Here we go.
Hello. Oh, you look gorgeous.
Oh. Thank you, sweetie.
Dame Ginger Spice, thank you for joining us.
You're more than welcome. Oh, Susie, look, it's like looking in a mirror, isn't it? We could be sisters separated at birth. Oh.
We have got the same colour hair there, haven't we?
We have, darling.
Yes, it's the lovely Auburn, the Auburn. We've just been chatting to Chris Clarkson, who I think you know.
Oh, he's a lovely man. Very, very handsome.
Yes, he is. And are you related in any way? You're not...
No, we're just very good friends. We know each other very well. Some would say we know each other intimately.
That's interesting.
I was going to ask how you feel about children.
Children, oh, they're lovely, aren't they? But I couldn't eat a full one. Yes. They get very loud sometimes, especially in the ghost gag. They get very loud.
Oh.
Technically illegal sometimes as well. We did once when I was on stage running around. I can't remember what the actual legal limits are on these things, but it's something like the safe working limit is in the UK is 60 decibels or something like that. I can't remember. It might be 5,000. But anyway, as a sliding scale, a jet engine is like 100 decibels. And the ghost gag, they recorded it in the wings, the volume of the children screaming in the auditorium, and it came in at 75. So technically, legally speaking, we should have been wearing ear defenders on stage during that scene. Not that we would do, obviously, but it just gets very loud. So children are lovely when they do the correct thing.
Yes, children are a health hazard. I think we've concluded from that.
Yes, very much so.
Do you still throw sweets?
Some theatres. There's no sweet throwing in this theatre. Different theatres have different policies on it. I've been through the mill myself over the years. In Tewkesbury many years ago, I was only allowed to hand them to the front row. Literally, I couldn't like throw one to the second row. It's too far. It's too dangerous. I had to put them in the hands of the people on the front row. Whereas in Coventry, in probably 2004-ish, we threw sweets out. We threw sweets out to the stalls area. There's a balcony there, and we kind of went, "Oh, sorry, you should have." Should have booked earlier and sat down there. Oh, no, not really. And we got tennis rackets and we started hitting them up onto the balcony. So you've got two ends of the spectrum of how safe it is to throw sweets in different theatres.
Oh, well, I'd much rather be in the tennis racket audience, that's for sure.
Yeah, that was fun.
Do you get on with the genie? Because I know you're doing Aladdin.
Oh, very much so. Yes, he's a very, very attractive gentleman.
Oh, really?
Yes, I'll rub his lamp anytime he wants me to.
Has he granted you any wishes?
Yes, he does. He grants me one, but I can't actually tell you what that is because that would be a plot spoiler, you see, for anybody who comes to the pantomime.
Oh.
But I do get one wish, and I'm very happy with the result.
Oh, marvellous.
Fantastic. How do you prepare for... I mean, you're performing a lot over Christmas, Dame Ginger Spice, and how do you prepare? Do you have vocal sort of techniques?
I take drugs.
Marvellous. Yep.
That's it. I do warm ups. I do a little physical warm up every day and a vocal warm up. And then I drink caffeine and Barocca. Cheers with the Barocca.
Do you avoid alcohol?
Only until the end of my opening scene. After that, it's free for all. Oh, do you know what? I should have actually told you this as well. So I've got my boobies here, as you know.
Oh, yes, your boobies. Now,
my boobies up, they're not completely real, I'll be quite frank with you. So I keep my mic pack in this side, inside, because it's a really handy place to keep it. And then I thought, oh, I'm a bit lopsided, I'm weighed down a bit that way. So in this one, I keep a little miniature bottle of gin.
Oh,
and that is true.
Yes.
I would show you, but it's under lots of layers, so I can't at the moment, I'm afraid. And I can't get to it during the show. I just like being on stage with 450 people, as it is here, going, yes, I'm doing my opening speech, and I've got a bottle of gin with me just here on stage. Isn't that marvellous? And at the end of the run, at the end of the final performance, I take, as in the whole perform, all the performances, I take the bottle of gin out and I drink it. That's my little thing to look forward to on the evening of Sunday, the 7th of January.
That's so lovely. What a great tradition that you've got there. That's wonderful.
And I mix it up. It's not always gin. Sometimes I have other drinks. I have port one year, but I had to swap because the port needed to be on the left side for obvious reasons. So I had to swap my mic back over. And that's true as well.
Very good. Very good. So if people want to come and see you, Dame Ginger Spice, I mean, obviously they're coming to see you. There are other people in the show. In fact, who have you got in the show with you? You've got some quite famous people.
We've got Lewis Smith, MBE, who won Olympic medal in 2012 and then went on to win Strictly Come Dancing that year. We have Ian Waite, who is a former Strictly professional. Yeah. As well, and we've got the genie played by a chap called Roger Wright, who his voice is just phenomenal. It's incredible. He was the original Simba in The Lion King in the West End.
Oh, wow.
And he's just you wind him up, push him on stage, and he just sings, and it is bonkersly good.
Oh,
fantastic. And then there are plenty of others as well, but there are three names, and we're on in Lincoln, the New Theatre Royal, until January the 7th.
Oh, well, that is wonderful. And what time is your performance today, Dame? Is it coming up?
I'm just going to refer to my little list over here. 2:30 and 7 p.m. I basically just keep going until they tell me to go home. That's essentially it. We're doing it in 10 minutes. Okay.
Like Groundhog Day.
Oh, and just one more question. How many costume changes do you have? Do you know?
Eight
costume changes, and they're all huge.
And I know that because I worked it out this weekend, because we had 2-3 show days back to back. I had 48 costume changes over 2 days.
Wow.
Which was good.
That's amazing. Oh, well, I'm truly in awe of you. I think it's an amazing thing that you do, and truly the energy and commitment and skill required to play a dame, particularly with that many costume changes, but any character in a pantomime is just phenomenal. So I salute all of you out there and all the actors doing pantomime this year. Go along and see them, because it's such fun, and it's such a great introduction to theatre for little kids. And it's for everybody, isn't it? It's for 0 to 100 and more.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Oh yes, the show is. When adults come for the first time since they were a kid, they go, it was never this rude when I was a kid.
It was.
Yeah. It's always been like this.
That very
the history
clever,
of pantomime, yes.
Yeah, that clever kind of innuendo that you don't get when you're a kid. Wonderful. Oh, well, thank you so much, Dame Ginger Spice. And please pass our thanks on to Chris Clarkson as well.
I will.
Forgiving us both.
When I find that little rapscallion.
And Happy New Year. Yes, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you
and
as
happy
well.
Gin drinking day on the 8th of January.
Get in.
You have been listening to Limited Time Only.
Thank you so much to Chris Clarkson and Dame Ginger Spice for joining us from their dressing room in the New Theatre Royal Lincoln. We really appreciate you giving up your time, both of you. And that was so much fun.
And thank you to all of you for listening and joining us on this series so far. We really, really appreciate your support. If you feel that you can and you want to sign up to be a patron, then please do. There are lots of added bonuses and lots more to come next year. And now, from both of us, we wish you a very happy new year.
And we will see you in January in 2024. It's the future. Take care. Thanks so much. Bye.
Mum, are there any Quality Streets left?